All right. Okay, let's start. So again, actually, I'm enjoying the fact that because I'm afraid of Josh, who's not here, or maybe he is here, and I don't want to have to paskin what Parshas HaShavua is. So found another like meta topic. Last week we did Birchas HaMitzvah. This week we're going to do Kavanah B'Mitzvos, which is something that comes up all the time and is fascinating, but doesn't attach itself to a particular mitzvah. So, generally speaking, we haven't done topics like this. Okay. It also, because I feel obligated to, it ties to Sfiras HaOmer. There are two interesting things that Kavanah B'Mitzvos connect to Sfiras HaOmer, and we'll see that as well. Okay. Let's be clear before we start. Everybody thinks that you should have kavana for mitzvos. The discussion we're going to have is a halachic discussion. Mitzvos trichos kavana or mitzvos ain't trichos kavana, meaning if you did a mitzvah and you were wholly unaware of you doing that you were doing a mitzvah, were you yotze or not? But let's be clear, everybody thinks it's much better to have kavana in mitzvos, right? Nobody thinks you shouldn't do it. The question is the halachic one. If I took a lulav and I was wholly unaware that there was a mitzvah of lulav, if I heard shofar and I was wholly unaware that it's Rosh Hashanah, was I yotze, technically speaking, the mitzvah of shofar? Or do I have to do it again? Okay, that's the core of the machlokas. Now, one of the interesting things about the machlokas, it's a meta machlokas in the sense that it comes up in many, many places, the machlokas of mitzvah trichos kavana or not. But in no place is there really an explanation. Meaning nobody shows up and says mitzvah trichos kavana and here's a pasuk. Nobody shows up and says mitzvah trichos kavana and here's the svara. There's nothing like that. You find it across many gemaros, but again, without an explanation. And Rav Asher Weiss pointed this out, and he suggests that it must have been absolutely clear what each svara was. And so the Gemara and Rishonim didn't feel the need to explain it to us. So the question is, what's so clear? What are the svaros? Why would I say mitzvos trichos kavana? And why would I say mitzvos einon trichos kavana? Okay. And I think the answer to this is a foundational philosophic machlokes about what is a mitzvah.
Should we look to averos? Should we look to the answer for averos? What do you have in the intent to do an avera?
I don't think so. It wasn't what I was going to say. Let
Okay.
me say my thing, and then you could say your thing. By the way, your point is real. The question is, can you be Yotze or lotase? So for example, do you sit down and take out a steak, and then put a glass of milk next to it, and then have kavana not to eat basar b'chalav? So most people dismiss that you don't want to put yourself in that situation. You don't need that for purposes of being yotze the mitzvah. I can tell you in a previous life when I sometimes had to go to treif restaurants. So for the most part, I found treif food, let's be clear, to go, not to eat. Okay. A lot of it was disgusting. But I remember one time being in this great steakhouse where they were like slathering butter, on a cow. And I remember thinking to myself, I am now being Yotze the mitzvah of Lo Sivashel Gedi Bachalev Imo, because I really want to eat this. It looks delicious. And to me, it probably is delicious. But most poskim don't think that you need kavana to be yotze a lotase. But let's come back to us. What's the theory? My instinct for sure is that mitzvos trichos kavana. Why? Because in my philosophy of mitzvos, I'm doing God's will. And so to do God's will, I have to be aware that it's God's will. And if I happen to be hungry and I eat matzah on the 15th of Nisan. So if you hold mitzvah srichos kavana, if you're unaware that you're doing a mitzvah, you're unaware that you're fulfilling God's will, every mitzvah, is a part of avodas Hashem. Okay, so if you're not aware that it's God's will, then you can't possibly be being oved Hashem. So that's the theory, I'm quite sure, of mitzvos trichos kavana. What's the theory of mitzvos einon trichos kavana? So here I think it must be the case that the theory is based on the fact that there is an independent value to eating matzah on the 15th of Nisan. There is an independent value to taking a lulav on the 15th of Tishrei. There is an independent, right? It happens to be that, of course, the value comes from God, but it's sort of like metaphysically, if I take a lulav and an esrog and a das and a rovos and I wave them, that's an act that's important in and of itself. Okay, you know, you could compare it to, doing household work or something, right? So there's, you know, your wife asked you to do the dishes. So there's a mitzvah because your wife asked you to do the dishes versus, you know, I saw the dishes there. I'm not doing it for my wife. I'm doing it because, you know, because somebody has to do the dishes and it bothers me to see dirty dishes in the sink. Okay, by the way, it does not bother me to see dirty dishes in the sink. So, Ellie, you know, under one theory, your wife is proud of you because you did it for the purpose of making her feel good. And the other theory, there's a value to doing the dishes. It doesn't matter that your wife asked you to or not. It doesn't matter that she's on vacation. She doesn't know. She's not home. There's an independent value to getting rid of the dishes in the sink. Okay, so again, if you hold mitzvos trichos kavana, the value in doing mitzvos stems from the fact that God asked me to. And therefore, to do God's will requires me to be aware of the fact that it's God's will. If I hold mitzvos einon trichos kavana, once God said there's a value to taking Dalet Minim on Sukkot, when I do it, even if I'm unaware of the fact that God wants me to do it, there is now an independent value to taking a lulav. Whatever impact that has on the world, whatever mystical impact it has on the world, it has, unrelated to the fact that God commanded me to do it, and therefore I am mekayim the mitzvah even without kavana. Okay,
Ellie?
Again, it's, yeah.
The two examples you gave are of mitzvot that don't have an intrinsic value according to our limited minds. But let's say you would take the mitzvah of, let's say, kibud avaim. That is something that we understand.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Nobody has kavana for the mitzvah of kibud avaim. It's a problem, right? I just drove my mother from Yerushalayim to my house for Shabbos. I'm pretty sure that's a mitzvah. But I got to tell you the truth. I didn't really do it because it's a mitzvah.
So that's exactly my point. That's exactly my point. You can have, it's easier to have kavana for a mitzvah that you don't understand because you're only doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it.
I hear, but there are many mitzvahs. We'll come back to this. Sitting in a sukkah, I understand completely. Eating matzah, I understand completely. Lulav, I don't. You're right about that one. Shofar, I understand completely. So I agree with what you're saying in theory, but in practice, it doesn't play out that way because there are tons of mitzvahs that we understand. I think what's really true is that there are religious mitzvahs. Or do it this way. Probably the answer to your question is there are Bein Adam LaMakom mitzvahs, there are Bein Adam LaChaveru mitzvahs, right? So I understand tzedaka, and I'd like to think that I would give tzedaka even if it wasn't a mitzvah satorah. So it's true. I'm less likely to have kavana in that situation, but I'd like to believe that within me, I understand because I'm religious that there's a value. You know, it's true. Gentiles give charity also. But I'd like to think when we do it, I'll tell you one thing. Gentiles don't give charity to the people who knock on my door and not to the people who knock on your door either. You know, that requires it. I really think, you know, there are situations where you give tzedakah because you really want to and it feels great. And I think when somebody annoys you on a Sunday afternoon in Teaneck, you know, and he knocks on the door, the only reason you're doing it is because it's the mitzvah. You wouldn't do it otherwise. It's 50-50, you know, he's a faker. Oh, there's all these reasons. I think in that situation, we do it because it's a mitzvah. Okay. That's the philosophy. Now let's do halacha. I'm not going to read the Gemara. There's a long Gemara I wanted to read, but it's getting late already, and we'll just discuss it outside. The Gemara has three cases in which it discusses specifically the machlokas of mitzvos trichos kavana or mitzvos einan trichos kavana. One of them is achilas matzah. One of them is the mitzvah of kriyashma, where the Gemara has a case in which it's the morning, you haven't said Shema yet, and you're reading Sefer Dvarim, and you happen to read the parshios that constitute Shema, but you have no awareness that that you're doing it for the mitzvah of kriyashma. You happen to be learning Torah. That's the second case. The third case is what the Gemara discusses, Hatokea Lashir. It's Rosh Hashanah. You love the sound of a shofar, right? It's real, and you're really musical. It's really good. You're not blowing for the purpose of being Mekayim a mitzvah. You are blowing because you enjoy the sound, or you're blowing to teach somebody how to blow. Okay. Those are the three cases that the Gemara quotes. Those are the three main cases. Now, until now, we've discussed the issue as if it's a global issue. Either I paskin mitzvos trichos kavana, or I paskin mitzvos einan trichos kavana. But when you look in the Rambam, it turns out it's not so simple. And this is really famous stuff, and it's good to know. So I've just summarized basically the first Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and now let's start with the three cases in the Rambam. One of the great things about the Rambam, not just for briskers, is that the Rambam works in categories, and he generally doesn't paskin globally. So you look in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, source number 2, Perek Vav Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, Ochal matzah below kavana, a person ate matzah without having any intention to be yotzei the mitzvah. Strange case, kigon she'ansuhu goyim olistim le'achol. I don't know why goyim show up to your house on the 15th of Nisan and force you to eat matzah, but they force you and you eat it. Says the Rambam, yotzei yidei chovaso. You're yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Again, nobody thinks this is lechatchila. Nobody thinks this is what you should be doing. But the answer is, technically speaking, somebody forced you to eat matzah. They put a gun to your head bizarrely and told you have to eat matzah. If you did it, you did it because they threatened you, not because it's a mitzvah satorah, says the Rambam Yotze. From which we would conclude that the Rambam holds mitzvahs einan srichos kavana. Right? Because here's the case. Eating matzah, you had no kavana. The Rambam says you were yotze. Second case, source number 3. Here's the Rambam Hilchos Kriyashma Perek Bet Halacha Aleph. Hakore es Shema Velo Kivein Libo B'Pasuk Rishon Shehu Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Lo Yatsa Yidei Chovato. Okay, from here we can conclude that the Rambam paskins mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Then it gets a little more confusing, because the Rambam continues by saying, Vashar, the rest of Shema, im lo kivein libo yatsa. Okay, if you didn't have kavana for the rest of Shema, so long as you had for the first pasuk, you yotze. And then the Rambam tells us the case of the Gemara, afilu haya korei batorah kidarko, you were just reading Sefer Dvarim. Oh, afilu, if you were just magia eta parshiyosa elu ba'onat kriyat Shema, you weren't even learning. You were just checking a Sefer Torah. So you were scanning Dvarim. Yatsa. But again, V'hu shekivein libo b'pasuk rishon. So, you know, sometimes you say there's a stira in Rambams. How could it be that he paskin that with respect to matzah, you don't need kavana? That's Mrs. Einon Tzrichos kavana. With respect to Shema, you do need kavana. But here, within the same halacha, it's clearly not a stira. The Rambam distinguishes between the first pasuk of Kriyashma for which you need kavana, and the rest of Kriyashma for which you don't. So it's clear that the Rambam doesn't have a global theory. He has specific cases. Look at the next one. Shofar in the Rambam, right? Source number 4, Hilcha Shofar, Sukkah Velulav, Perek Bet Halacha Dalet. Says the Rambam as follows. Hamit asek bitkiat shofar lihit lamed. If you're blowing shofar to teach somebody how to blow shofar, clearly you're not doing it for the mitzvah. Lo yatsa yidei chovato. You weren't yotzei the mitzvah. Again, now you have a clear stira between the Rambam and source number two in Hilchos Matzah, where you don't need kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah, and source number four, lulav, where you do need, or shofar, where you do need kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. And the Rambam continues, v'chein, hashomea min hamitasek lo yatsa. A person who listens to somebody who is just practicing and didn't do it for the mitzvah was not yotzei. And the Rambam continues, niskaven shomea lotzei sidei chovaso, v'lo niskaven atokea lahotzio. I'm walking past your house on Rosh Hashanah. I hear you blowing. I stop and think to myself, I am now having kavanah to be yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. The problem is, you who are blowing inside didn't have kavanah to be yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. Or the reverse. You inside your house are blowing because you think the guy in shul this morning did a terrible job, and you're having kavanah to be yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. But I'm just walking past your house enjoying the sound. I don't have kavanah. In either case, says the Rambam, you were not yotzei. Lo yotzei de chavato, ad sheyit kavein shomeya umashmiya. Okay, so the Rambam is pretty serious. With respect to shofar, mitzvos trichos kavana, to what extent? To the extent that if either the blower or the person listening doesn't have kavana, you're not yotzei. And everybody wants to know, you know, what's the shitas atosfos? I'm sorry, what's the shitas Rambam? Again, matzah doesn't need kavana. Kriyashma, the first pasuk needs kavana, the rest doesn't. Shofar absolutely needs kavana. How does the Rambam hold? So, the Aruch HaShulchan has an explanation, not for the Rambam, but just generally, and we will use it to explain the Rambam because it's clearly right, and it helps us to understand what's going on behind the scenes. Look at source number seven. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Beis Yosef, who basically, you know, mimics the Rambam almost word for word. And he says, okay, so what's going on? How could it be that with respect to matzah, you don't need shofar? With respect to Kriya Shema, it depends where you are. With respect to shofar, you absolutely need kavana. So he says, where my cursor is, second line of the second page, Biur Dvarav. The explanation is as follows. Sheyesh machlokes bein haposkim im kol mi she'oseh mitzvah tzarich lechaven she'yatza yidei chovat mitzvah ba'asiyah zo. Right? That's the machlokes. Mitzvah Srichos Kavana, Mitzvah Ein Srichos Kavana. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's what's going on here. Oh, im ein sarich lechavein latzeit yidei chovat ha-mitzvah. Ela af lo kivein yatsa mitzvah. Okay, that's the machlokes. So he says, v'yit ba'er zeh b'sim ha-toshrei peish. Yeah, okay, fine. V'yesh me'harishonim shamru da'afilu leman desfir le mitzvah ein srichos kavana. He says it's possible that even according to Amanda Amar, who says mitzvahs do not need kavana, zehu b'mitzvot ma'asiyot. That's only with respect to action-based mitzvos. Da'asiyato have kikavanat ha-mitzvah. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, there are different categories of mitzvos. There are mitzvos where the action is 100% of the mitzvah. Therefore, if you did the action, you were yotze. Aval mitzvah hatzulia bedibur. But if it's a mitzvah that involves saying something, for example, vaday tzarich kavana. Of course, you need kavana. De below kavana have a keena osaklum, because you're not doing the mitzvah. Now, what does this mean? So I'll tell you what I think. There is no real mitzvah of Kriya Shema. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, right? Accepting the yoke of heaven. So if you read the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and you had no idea what you were saying, and you had no idea that it's a mitzvah, then you simply didn't do the mitzvah, right? The mitzvah is to accept God, you know, as your sovereign. You can't do that without accepting God as your sovereign. But if the mitzvah is waving a lulav, Well, then you can wave a lulav without any kavana, and you did the mitzvah. Okay, let's do a Sfira Sa'omer example, which I've used before, but I think it's a good example. Forget any machlokas about mitzvah strichos kavana or not. What's the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer? So I'll tell you, it's not a trick question. The mitzvah is to count. Okay, let's say that you don't understand Hebrew. And last night or today, you said Hayom Arba'im Yom Shehem, you know, Chamisha Shavos V'Chamisha Yomim LaOmer. But if I ask you, what day is it in the Omer, you don't know. So the answer is, you didn't do the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to count the Omer. You did not count because you don't know what it means. Similarly, a better example. Kavana for davening, right? If you're wholly unaware of the fact that you're davening, you're not davening. You may be saying words in a sitter, but you're not davening. So with respect, now let's go back to the Rambam. What does the Rambam hold? Well, it depends. With respect to regular mitzvos, with respect to action-based mitzvos, the Rambam must hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. Therefore, if people tied you up and forced you to eat matzah, you're yotzei even without kavana. With respect to Kriya Shema, the Rambam clearly says, if you didn't accept Malchus Shamayim, you didn't do the mitzvah. That's why you need kavana in the first sentence. But after that, you don't need kavana. The chiddush in the Rambam is shofar. Right? It turns out, according to the Rambam, shofar is not an action-based mitzvah. Shofar has, you know, as the Gemara says, I guess, you know, zichron trua, it's a recollection of certain things. It's something more than simply hearing a sound. Therefore, says the Rambam, if you don't have kavana when you hear shofar, it's like a mitzvah shebedibur. It's like a mitzvah where you're saying something, but that's not really the mitzvah, right? The mitzvah is not to say Shmona Esrei. The mitzvah is to pray to God. And so if you're wholly unaware that you're praying to God, you're not doing the mitzvah. Says the Rambam, if you're wholly unaware, either when you're blowing or when you're listening, that there's a mitzvah here, then you didn't do the mitzvah. Now, the good news
Ellie, wait a second.
The good news is that when you go to shul, most of these issues fall away. Right? When you go to shul on Rosh Hashanah, you're clearly there to be Oved Hashem and to hear shofar. You know, when you daven with a minyan, if you went to shul, of course you went to shul to daven. So that even if you're not having specific kavana, you know, I'm davening now, you're much more likely to have an awareness of the fact that you're omed lifnei Hashem. So halacha lemaisa, you know, it's easier for us. But the answer to the Shita Sarambam clearly is, you have to tell me the context of the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is purely action-based, then you're fine without kavana. But if the mitzvah requires an awareness of something, then you need kavana or you're not yotzei. The best example is how we take a lulav and esrog. Okay, everybody knows you put the esrog upside down. Why do you put the esrog upside down when you make a bracha? Because you don't want to be yotzei the mitzvah until after you've made the bracha. And the mitzvah is nothing more than picking up the four species. You don't even have to wave them, min haTorah, right? Technically speaking, if you were clearing the dining room table and you had your lulav and esrog and hadassim and aravos and you picked them up together just to move them someplace else, mitzvah seinu tzrichos kavana. It's action-based. You'd be yotzei without any kavana. Okay, those are the categories. Yes, Lenny.
Just want to clarify on the shofar blowing. You mentioned earlier that Rambam talks about the blower of the shofar, that he has to have intent too. But I don't think for Rosh Hashanah that's correct, because the blower, there is no mitzvah to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It's to hear shofar, right?
Okay, so very fancy. You're 1,000% right. The explanation is the mitzvah is to hear a kol shofar. And the definition of a kol shofar is a sound generated by somebody with kavana for the mitzvah by blowing a shofar.
So that makes the listener dependent on the blower as well.
Absolutely. Now, again, you know, I've never blown shofar. I'm not good at it. You know, you ask me, what if the guy in Bnei Yeshurun got up? He didn't have kavanah. His focus was just on getting out a good sound. The answer is, in the context, of course he's doing it for a mitzvah. And you, in the context of being in shul, of course you're doing it for a mitzvah. Because let's face it, everybody, I assume, has the same experience that I have. At some point, what comes out is, you know, and all you could think of is, dear God, please help him get the sound out, right? You're not thinking of the mitzvah. You're just praying for this guy not to be embarrassed. Okay, but all of that is part of the mitzvah of shofar. I think, you know, we all have that emotion. We all know what that feels like. And I don't think that's ma'akev the mitzvah at all.
I think the guy who blows shofar feels the same way too.
I'm sure, but I think it's one of the great moments. It's one of the great moments of Beinonu L'Chaveru, where you could feel everybody in the shul pulling for this guy to get a sound out. I mean, unless you hate the guy, but that's really bad. I assume there's always, because I have no part of this, I assume there's always, you know, the relief pitcher might be sitting there with his shofar warming up. You know, maybe he's hoping the guy doesn't get out more sounds. But the rest of us, I think, it's a great moment in which everybody's unified in praying, you know, for the Baal Tokeh to do a good job. Now, despite what I said about the distinction between mitzvos, in halacha, it is discussed as like a meta issue. Do you hold mitzvos tzrichos kavanah? Do you hold mitzvos einot tzrichos kavanah? So if you look at source number 5, which you can look at if I scroll, here's how we paskin. And it's interesting for how it's formulated, and it's interesting for the last two words. Says the Mechaber in Simon Samach, Seif Dalet, Yesh omrim she'ein mitzvos tzrichos kavana, v'yesh omrim she'tzrichos kavana lotzeis ba'asiyat ota mitzvah. Now, this is not unusual in the Shulchan Aruch, that he gives you alternative positions. We have a klal that when the Shulchan Aruch does this, we paskin like the Yesh omrim. And the Yesh omrim is usually the second one. Meaning, so in this case, that means we're going to paskin mitzvos tzrichos kavana, which broadly speaking we do. What's strange here is that the Shulchan Aruch says v'chein halacha, which achronim are bothered by, because what does that mean about the rule? If we're right about the rule that when the Mechaber quotes two shitos, we paskin like the second one, and that's his intention. So why here does he add the two words v'chein halacha? If that's always the case, why does he add v'chein halacha? Okay, so the scary possibility is we're wrong about the rule. We keep thinking that we paskin like the second shita in the Shulchan Aruch, and maybe we don't. That's a scary one. The more likely one is that, you know, maybe we paskin like the second shita in the Mechaber misafek. Okay, we need some rule, right? Well, maybe the Mechaber is not sure. When he quotes two shitos, okay, so maybe we'll be machmir like one of the shitos. But here, he's saying, no, here I'm sure. I'm aware of the fact that there is a shita that says, mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, but you should know, I hold definitively that mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Okay, so that is in fact the halacha, that the accepted halacha, and that's what we should aspire to. Right, we should aspire to have kavana each time we do a mitzvah. And this comes back to our philosophic discussion that we started with, which is the reason we do things is to build a relationship with God. And it's much more satisfying to do a mitzvah because I'm aware that I'm fulfilling the will of God and I'm being Oved Hashem, and I believe you get real schar for that. It's much more satisfying than to go, oh, by the way, I accidentally, you know, here's a good thing. Somebody asks me tonight, which for me is not that long from now. Somebody asks me tonight, what day is it in the Omer? And I say 41. So the halacha is, you know, that I can't make a bracha. Tonight is 42. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, a little embarrassing. I think I counted correctly last night because I was in shul. That's a good reason to go to shul. because you could be pretty sure that the whole tzibur didn't get the number wrong. Okay? So I'm sorry. New example. It's tonight. I'm asked what day it is. I say 42. I don't feel as good about my kiyum ha-mitzvah. I was yotze because that's the din. Somebody asked me, so I said it. But let's admit it. It feels much more meaningful when you make a bracha, when you have kavana, and just on a personal level. And so, I don't think this, I don't know if this got to America yet, because things are changing. In Israel, in shul on Friday night, almost everybody sings that annoying song. You guys don't even, hinini muchanum. So it takes a while to sing it. I'm not a big fan, but it works. But it makes you feel like you're doing this really, really important mitzvah, and it's much more meaningful. And I think this subjective feeling we have when we're mekayim mitzvos is something we shouldn't underestimate. It is a personal experience. It is my relationship with God. And I want to be the kind of person who does mitzvos because I'm supposed to do mitzvos and not just because it's an accident. Even though there is a shita that says, if you did the mitzvah, you were yotzei the mitzvah. Okay? Now, I pretended that everybody passes like the Shulchan Aruch and we hold mitzvah Tzrichos Kavana. But there's one important qualification, and that's the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram in source number 9 on that exact Simon, on Simon Samach, says, V'chein halacha, he says, V'davka b'mitzvah d'oraisa. Aval mitzvah d'rabbanan, ein tzarich kavana. Okay, so the good news is, right, if you lit your menorah without knowing that it's a mitzvah, if you listen to Megillah without knowing it's a mitzvah, the Magen Avram says you yotze. But with respect to, to mitzvah d'oraisa, like, for example, benching, for sure, if you don't have kavana, that's a mitzvah shebedibur. For sure, if you don't have kavana for benching, you aren't yotze. Okay, so if you ask the posek, generally speaking, poskim would say, we hold mitzvah strichos kavana for d'oraisas, but not for the rabbanans, but don't understand that to mean we don't want you to have kavana for drabbanans. Of course we do. We want you to have kavana for every mitzvah, but presumably here we would say, sveika d'oraisa l'chumra, sveika d'rabbanan l'kula. So if you ask me, I just benched and I didn't have any kavana. So the question is, what does kavana mean? Right, that's the next important topic we have to ask. We paskin mitzvah strichos kavana. So does that really mean I have to understand every word of benching? I have to have kavana throughout? What does it mean? So here, many people quote the Aruch HaShulchan, right where my cursor is, in Sif Chet, where he says as follows. Lefi ma dekai malan mitzvah strichos kavana. The Aruch HaShulchan says, yes, we paskin mitzvah strichos kavana. Yesh li zaher b'chol mitzvah l'chavein l'shem mitzvah. You should have kavana that it's a mitzvah. Nothing more and nothing less. Ve'ein tzarich l'chavein l'shem mitzvah zo. You don't need to know any zohars. You don't need to know Kabbalah. You don't need to know deep meanings of the mitzvah. All you need to know is that God told me to bench to thank him at the end of a meal. And I'm doing it because that's a mitzvah. Ella stam l'shem mitzvah. So really, that's good news. The standard, we hold mitzvah strichos kavana. But what does kavana mean? It doesn't mean understanding every word. It doesn't mean, having all kinds of deep intentions for the secret meaning of the mitzvah. It just means having vague awareness of the thing that you're doing is something that God wants you to do. Okay, that really is the minimum required, which means, every time we bench, I assume, you have a vague awareness that you're benching not because you love the song, right? Nobody loves the song. You're benching because it's a mitzvah. I don't really know that the pasuk says, v'yachalta v'savata v'rachta. I don't know it's a d'oraisa. I don't know that there are four brachos and the first three are d'oraisa. I don't know any of this stuff. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, it doesn't matter. So long as you're benching because it's a mitzvah, so long as you're eating matzah because it's a mitzvah, so long as you're taking a lulav because it's a mitzvah, that's all that matters. And you're yotze. Okay. So we've, on the one hand, we talked within the Rambam about different categories of mitzvah. On the other hand, we saw in Shulchan Aruch a broad psak, mitzvah strichos kavana. We saw in the Magen Avraham that he changes it from broadly to d'oraisas need kavana, d'rabbanans don't. Is there another category of mitzvahs? And the answer is possibly. There are, of course, mitzvahs, the reason for which is actually in the Torah. Might mitzvahs that the Torah tells us, here's the reason, might they be different? Maybe they constitute their own category. Okay, who thinks this? The Bach, in source number 8. The Bach says as follows. There are 3 mitzvos in the Torah that have explanations. The answer is there are more than 3. We'll come to that in a second. And the Bach thinks that the halacha might be different with respect to these 3 mitzvos. What are the 3 mitzvos? The first is tefillin. The second is sukkah. The third is tzitzis. Why? With respect to tzitzis, the Torah says, look at the second line at the last word. L'ma'an tizkeru v'asitem et kol mitzvotai v'hiyitem kidoshim l'loichem. The Bach says, the Torah tells me I wear tzitzis to remind me of tarag mitzvos. What about tefillin? The Torah says, v'yalachot l'cha la'ot al yadcha u'letotafot b'ininecha. Why? L'ma'an tihiyet torat Hashem b'ficha ki b'yadcha zakahot tziyacha Hashem mimitzrayim. The reason I wear tefillin is to remind me of the Torah. What about Sukkos? The Torah says, "Basukot teishvu shivat yamim." Why? Lema'an yedu dorotechem ki basukot hoshavti et bnei Yisrael b'hotzi otam me'eretz Mitzrayim. Says the Bach, "Yore ki ikar hamitzvah v'kiyuma tiluya bekavanata." The Bach says, these mitzvahs, the Torah says, do them so that. Says the Bach, so with respect to these 3 mitzvahs, I don't care what the machlokes is, mitzvahs trichos kavana, mitzvahs ein trichos kavana. These need super kavana. These need kavana for what the Torah says. Ma she'en ken shar mitzvahs di yotze yidei chovotam, afal pi shelo yichavein badavar ki im shoseh hamitzvot leman Hashem. The Bach never saw the Aruch HaShulchan that we just quoted, but he's agreeing with him. He's saying, for all other mitzvos, I just need the most basic awareness that I'm fulfilling the will of God. But with respect to tefillin, tzitzis, and sukkah, if the Bach says, if I don't have kavana for what the Torah says, I'm not Yotze. Where does this really play out? It's famous for sukkah because the Bach uses it to explain something important in the Torah. We all know there's a machlokes what the mitzvah of sukkah is. Did we sit in Ananei HaKavod in the Midbar, or did we sit in Sukkos Mamash? So the Bach says, you know, the Torah says we sat in Sukkos Mamash. So the Bach says, why do we care? You know, my dehava have it. They sat whatever they sat in. So the Bach says, no, because when you sit in your sukkah, you have to have kavana for the fact that we sat in a sukkah when we left Egypt. So you have to know, did we sit in clouds of glory or did we sit in actual wood man-made sukkos? Okay, so that's the Shita Sabach. An interesting thing is there are other mitzvos in the Torah that have reasons. And Rav Asher says, no, what the Bach means to say is when it says lema'an, you know, lema'an yedu dorotechem ki basukot, it's not a reason for the Bach, it's the purpose of the mitzvah. It's what he calls in Hebrew the tachlit ha-mitzvah. When the Torah says, the purpose of sitting in a sukkah is to remember what happened when we left Egypt, that's not just the reason, that's the purpose. And according to the Bach, without the purpose, you're not Yotzei the mitzvah, okay?
What about Shabbos?
1 second. We do not paskin like the Bach for the most part. You don't have to worry that you put on the tallis this morning and you didn't have kavana. But you should be aware of the fact that it's a really good thing to have kavana. And let's admit the following. We're much better off the more kavana we have, right? We don't want to be Jews who do things via rote. Now, it's hard. You know, when you do a mitzvah every day, often it becomes, you know, rote. But if you remind yourself that when I put on my talis, I'm supposed to remember that I'm obligated in the whole, you know, in Tariag Mitzvos. When I put on my tefillin, I remind myself of the fact that God wants me to remember that I have Parshas HaTorah, you know, on my arm and on my... It becomes much, much more meaningful. Debbie, I cut you off. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But what about Shabbos?
No, that's... okay, it's a good question. The Pasuk says... Wait, what's the Pasuk? Why are you asking about Shabbos? Does it say...
You know, Asa Hashem, it's
okay. So presumably, okay. So that's where Rav Asher helps. He says the Torah doesn't say the purpose of Shabbos is. The Torah explains the reasoning, right? So first of all, of course, lechatchila, when you make kiddush, you're supposed to remind yourself that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. The question is it ma'akev your kiddush if you didn't? So, if we follow the Shulchan Aruch, Kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? If you were unaware of the fact, now, but again, here you come to the question of, well, if we pass like the Aruch HaShulchan, all you need to know is that I'm making Kiddush because it's a mitzvah, right? But of course, you're right, that we want to aspire to a level where when I make Kiddush, I remind myself of the fact that God created the world, just like, and this is an easy one. I think most of us do this. When I eat matzah, the Rambam says, mitzvah seino tzrichos kavana. But who doesn't find meaning in reminding ourselves of imagining being in Egypt and eating this matzah on the way out? Matzah, I think, is the easiest thing to have kavana for. Sukkah is also pretty easy. Okay, maror is the easiest, but it's just a drabana. But who doesn't have kavana during maror? It's an unpleasant experience. Okay, so I think you're right that, you know, lechatchila, when you make kiddush, you want to have that kavana. But b'di'eved, if you're aware of the fact that there's a mitzvah making kiddush, you're yotzei. And again, maybe your point stresses the point I tried to make at the beginning. There's a huge difference between the halacha, was I yotzei the mitzvah, and what I want to do. Right? I can be yotzei mitzvahs by accident. I think the din is that if you drop a $20 bill, you're wholly unaware, and a poor person picks it up, you got a mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay? But it's hard to imagine that in Shamayim, you're getting full credit. You were yotzei, technically speaking, the mitzvah of tzedakah. That's great. But like everything else, it's like, you know, if you move the lulav, you were yotzei the mitzvah of lulav. It's hard to imagine you get much reward for it. But as a technical question, for example, do I have to take a lulav later in the day? The answer is no, you did it already. Do I want to take a lulav later in the day because I was wholly unaware when I did it? Yeah, of course, that's who we want to be. We want to be the kind of people who find meaning in mitzvahs.
Okay. Because of the level of intentionality.
For sure. Okay, last point. And this is another Sfiras HaOmer point. What about if you have negative intention? Negative kavana. You say to yourself, I don't know anything about mitzvah tzrichos kavana or not. I do not want to be yotzei the mitzvah. So who would ever do that? You think it's like a rasha, only a bad person would do that? No, we do that all the time. Tonight in shul, okay? Somebody's going to get up, the rabbi, whatever, and make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer. And you're going to say amen, but you don't mean it. Because you don't want to be yotzei with his bracha. You want to be yotzei with your bracha. In shul, the chazan's going to say a bracha on Hallel on Tuesday, I think. Okay? You don't want to be yotzei with his bracha. You want to make your own. So the question is, you know, do you need to have negative kavana? Does it work? So Tosfos in source number, it's a machalokas arishon. Tosfos in source number 10 says, Efshar sheyit kaven shelo latzeit bo ad achar bracha. Tosfos says, you could have negative kavana. Da'af al gav damrina v'sofra uhu bezd in the Gemara, we didn't read at the start, de mitzvahs einon srichos kavana. Tos says, even if you own mitzvahs einon srichos kavana, mikal makom, bal karcha lo nafik. You can't claim I'm yotzei a mitzvah if I'm trying not to. Okay? What's the context of this Tosfos? The context of this Tosfos is, how do you take Dalet Minim on Sukkos? Again, what are the choices? In order to make a bracha, it has to be over La'asiyasa, right? You have to make a bracha before you yotzei the mitzvah. So one shita is, okay, make a bracha before you pick up your lulav and esrog. It's sitting in front of you on the table. So the Gemara says, no, that's called over de over. That's too far in advance, right? You want to do it right before, but not before. So Tosfos says, great. So you know what? Instead of doing this crazy thing of picking up your esrog while it's upside down, why don't you just pick it up and have kavana not to be yotze? Okay? So I'm holding my lulav and esrog. Now I make a bracha. Then I have kavana to be yotze. So Tosfos says that's what you should do. But we don't paskin like Tosfos. Okay? It's a machlokas whether you could have negative kavana. But in the examples that I've brought, for example, tonight in shul for Sfiras Omer, in shul for Hallel, it's probably a good idea to have negative kavana. It's more of a shtick, like it's fun because you feel frum when you do that. But almost certainly you have negative kavana anyway because you know you're about to make a bracha. And so almost certainly when you say amen, you're saying amen, yes, I agree. It's the 42nd night of the Omer, and I'm glad that you made a bracha, but you're not planning to be yotze with that, even if you're unaware of the issue, because you know you're about to make a bracha, as opposed to somebody who missed a night and is no longer counting with a bracha. That person is supposed to have specific kavana to be yotze. And that's why a lot of people think if you missed a night, you shouldn't be somech on the chazan, because the chazan probably is not having kavana to be motzi people, because he's not really trying to be motzi people. The reason why the chazan or the rabbi counts in advance is that people know what day it is, not in order to be motzi them with the bracha. Okay, so that's an important issue also with respect to Sfiras Omer, that it could be, Tosfos thinks, that if you have negative kavana, you won't be yotzei the mitzvah. Okay, so what do we see today? We started with this mega machlokas of mitzvah tzrichos kavana or not. Turns out, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins broadly mitzvah tzrichos kavana, within the Rambam at least, it may depend on the context. We saw there are mitzvos that are completely 100% action-based, where the Rambam says matzah is action-based. If you ate matzah, even if you were forced to, you're still yotze, because in that case, mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavana. But with respect to kriyashma, with respect to tefillah, and surprisingly, with respect to shofar, without kavana, you did not do the mitzvah. Right? What the Aruch HaShulchan calls mitzvos shebedibur, in which we have to put content into the mitzvah. Without that, you aren't yotze. Okay? We pointed out that the Bach says, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way, it's only with respect to d'oraisas, not the Rabbanans, despite the fact that my best example, Sfiras HaOmer, where you need to know what you're doing to be yotzei the mitzvah, is L'chol Adeos Bizman Hazeh, a mitzvah de Rabbanan. We saw the fascinating sheet of the Bach, who says there are three exceptions to the mitzvah, to the din of mitzvah Srichos Kavana or not, and those are mitzvahs, the purpose of which is already described in the Torah. What are they? Tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah. Okay, what is the kavana you're supposed to have? We saw in the Aruch HaShulchan, it's just the most basic kavana, just an awareness that you're doing a mitzvah with respect to davening. By the way, it's just an awareness that you're standing in front of God. Well, if we had more time to discuss davening, it's very similar to kriyashma, in that we paskin, you need kavana for the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, for Magen Avos, not for the rest, okay? That's a different discussion. And we ended with this interesting shita of Tosfos that you could have negative kavana. Now, I missed one source. We'll do it quickly. I said at the beginning that there are no sources for this. You don't find anything other than a philosophic idea, mitzvah tzrichos kavana, a philosophic idea, mitzvah eino tzrichos kavana. There, in fact, is one source, which is not specifically seen in the context of mitzvah tzrichos kavana, but I think should be, and is really something that we should aspire to. Okay, the background is as follows. We all know the Rambam says there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven every day. The Ramban says, no, there isn't. What's the source for the Rambam's mitzvah to daven every day? Ula avdo b'chol levavchem. Right? Haveyomer avoda shebalev. Right? That's tefillah. What does the Ramban do with that line of ula avdo b'chol levavchem? Says the Ramban on his hasaga on the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot, Mitzvot HaSehei, second line. V'ikar ha-katuvu ula avdo b'chol levavchem. Mitzvat asei shetihiye kol avodatenu lakel yitbarach b'chol levavenu. Kilomar b'kavana ritzuya shlema lishmo ube'ein hirhura. Says the Ramban, the Torah says, ula avdo b'chol levavchem. When I do mitzvos, I'm supposed to do them because I believe in God. I'm supposed to do them with absolute certainty that I'm fulfilling the will of God. And here's an interesting line. Lo shena'aseh ha-mitzvot b'lo kavana o al ha-safek ulay yesh bo'em toele. Right? Sometimes you hear cynical people say, listen, I don't know if there's a God, I don't know if there's a mitzvah, but it couldn't hurt. I'll do it. Says the Ramban, no, that's a violation of avdo b'chol levavchem. When we do mitzvos, we want to do mitzvos out of a conviction that I love God and I'm fulfilling God's will by doing the mitzvah. Now, this is not quoted generally as a source for mitzvah tzrichos kavana. And my guess is it's not really a source for mitzvah tzrichos kavana or eino tzrichos kavana. It's a source for the bigger point that everybody thinks aspirationally we're supposed to connect our mitzvah observance with our avodas Hashem, with our belief in God. Right? They're not two separate things. Ramban just takes it as a given. He happens to quote a source. And when you think about it, it's so obvious, right? Ula avdo b'chol levavchem. What does it mean? When I worship God, I should worship God out of absolute conviction. Okay? So even though, you know, it's not a source within the halachic machlokes, philosophically, it's what we aspire to. I think there's no doubt, you know, we aspire to awareness of God. We aspire to connect mitzvah observance with our belief in God. I don't know. Maybe there is some mystical, metaphysical value in taking a lulav. The Gemara suggests there is. Lulav is a great example for me because I don't understand it at all. You know, I do not find great religious meaning in waving my lulav in shul. And also it's dangerous. Okay, but it's a mitzvah satorah. And so, you know, I have kavana for the fact that I'm mitzvah satorah. But beyond that, I'm at a loss. When I eat matzah, when I hear shofar, when I put on a tefillin and sit, it has a different meaning for me. But sometimes lulav is my best mitzvah because it means nothing to me other than God asked me to do this. I don't know why. It doesn't fill me with deep meaning. I don't understand any of it. I understand that it's God's will and I do it. I think that, you know, that's the aspiration at the end of the day. Anyway, yashkoch to everybody. Have a great week. Happy Yom Yerushalayim. I know it's not as big a deal where you live as it is where I live, but here it's a pretty big deal, and it's a pretty happy day. I'm not telling anybody whether I'm going through Shar Shechem, you know, if there's a war on Sunday because of that. We'll just have to see how it plays out. All right, yashkoch, guys.
Thank you, Eli.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you. Good job.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat everyone.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Be well.
Thank you. You too.
Stay safe.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.